Buddy, I am so excited that you guys are here. I guess some of you are probably having dinner. For me, it's 4 p.m. And for me, well, for you guys, I don't know if it's 6. Where are you guys from? I would love to know where are you all here from right now. So send over in the chat. I like to read what you guys are saying, plus any questions you guys are going to have. Oh my God, London. That's like middle of the night, right? Oregon. So for you, Amity. Oh, hi, Amity. So for you, it's only what, like 3 p.m., I think, right? So it's kind of the good time. I'm in France, so we're getting a lot of night owls, huh? From the Europe area. Oh, sweet. We've got lots of people from the States. Well, welcome here. Ivan, where are you? You are in London, right? Where are you? No, where are you, Ivan? I don't think I saw. I think it went past really quickly here. Oh, France. Sorry. Right. Well, great to have you guys all here. Oh, 11 p.m. It's not too bad. Although I think I go to sleep at like 9, 10. Sometimes I'm really pushing it. I like to go to sleep early. Alaska. Steve, I love Alaska. I visited there ages ago, but just Juneau area through Skagway, I think it was. Gorgeous. So beautiful. Fell in love with Alaska. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to dive in to my presentation. Are you guys able to hear me well? Hi, Nancy from New York. I grew up in New York. All right, I'm going to jump in. And today I'm going to talk about the 4 steps to simplifying day trading and dominating the market under any conditions. I am Marina, the Trader Chick, and thanks again for being here. And I have a question for us, a couple of you guys, for all of you guys, actually. So I'm curious, how many of you guys are actually having fun when you are trading? I know this sounds like a little bit of an odd question, but I really would love for you guys to dive into this and really fully understand are you having fun when you are trading? So let me ask you another question. Have you guys ever driven a car or been in a car? And just go with this right now, because you're going to understand why it is such an important analogy I'm about to make. Because the shocking fact is when we get into cars, the reality is that there are gazillions of accidents that happen each day. So when we get into our car, it is an actual real issue, a real situation that could actually like hurt us, injure us, right? Yet every single day we get into our cars, we put on our music and we jam out and hang out with our kids and we have a good time. We even start texting. I know that I am guilty of it. My husband's super guilty of it. We always have arguments about that. But the reality is that we all do it and we all get distracted in cars. And by the way, this is sometimes how I drive around our area here. This is the perks of being an expat in Guatemala. And yeah, so motorcycles, they're even more scarier. And I have done this with my dogs and my 2 kids. Now, let me ask you another real question. How many of you guys have actually lost money in the markets? You could be honest, because I could guarantee the majority of us have definitely lost money. I definitely know that I personally have lost way too much money, especially when I first began, right? But the reality is that I'm still here. I get to hug my kids every day, hang out with my husband. I was traveling quite a lot, and I actually have quite a lot of travel plans that had to be canceled starting actually in 2 weeks. But the reality is, oh my God, somebody lost around $50,000. I haven't lost that much. What I have lost, I'll be telling you in a few minutes. So my real question to you guys is, it why is it that when we get into our car, where the chance of real life injury and even a fatality is real, yet we could still enjoy and have fun in the car? Yet when we drive, when we trade, the worst that could happen is that we lose money. I mean, we've all been there. We've all lost money, right? But yet we treat it as completely as a deadly serious. Yet when we get into a car and we know the risk, we're still having a lot of fun with it, right? Tell me, how is that? How is it that we could do that, right? This is all a perspective. It's all about perception. So don't get me wrong though. When you get into your car, you have to know how to drive a car. Otherwise, for sure, you're going to just, you know, if you're even able to turn the ignition on and go, you're going to crash it. But the reality is, when you get into a car, you have to know. You have to know the basics of driving the car, right? You guys all know where your gear shift is. I drive a manual, so I have a gear shift. I know where my clutch is. I know where my brake is. I know where the accelerator is, the steering wheel. These are basics, right? We all know. And at this point, when we get into our cars, we don't even think about it, right? We just know exactly what needs to be done. So trading is so much like driving the car, but without that crazy risk that is involved as in driving a car, right? But you have to you know the basics of trading, or you guys will end up crashing just the same. So after years of learning other people's strategies and following a lot of their trade setups, similarly to, I don't know if you guys have ever taken driver's ed, but in the US, the way we learn driver's ed is you have somebody that sits next to you and they control a lot of the car. And in the beginning, they're pretty much doing a lot of the driving for you. So basically, that's kind of the same thing when you're learning other people's strategies and following only their trade setups and not fully learning the basics. That's kind of what happens, right? So in other words, you never really learn how to drive your own car, or in trading terms, read your own charts, right? So that is exactly what happened to me. And that's the reason why I ended up losing big. I mean, I ended up losing almost $4,000 in 5 minutes because I was chasing somebody else's trade in a chat room. I didn't understand why it was a good trade or if it even was a trade, but if they were saying it, I was rushing after it, totally chasing it. I'm sure you guys have been there. I'm sure you guys have chased trades. That is a deadly sin in trading and one that we can avoid if we are not emotionally attached to it, right? So when you are chasing a trade, you normally get in too late. That's exactly what happened to me, but I didn't want to admit that I got in too late. So what did I end up doing? I ended up removing my risks altogether. Even though I did have a risk management in place, I removed it because my ego was winning over and I blew up my account, literally. And this was not the first time in that month. This was over 6 years ago, okay? But the crazy thing is that I did not stop after that. No, I ended up revenge trading for another 2 days. How many of you guys have the revenge trade symptoms? Let me tell you, it's real. Revenge trading is a horrible thing and we all do it. And I ended up losing almost another $2,000 after that, 2 more days of revenge trading. It was horrible. And it wasn't even about the money. It was just this mental, emotional takeover. Basically, what happened to me was I literally crashed the car. I totaled my car 2 times after the main crash, right? And that's when I had a complete and total breakdown. I literally had a full-on breakdown, okay? This is what happens when you have a breakdown. You coming down to 2 decisions. One is you would quit and get out of that scenario, or you have a breakthrough. So I just want to give you guys a little bit of introspection here of what happened to me. I don't know if you guys have ever watched Nacho Libre, but I absolutely love Nacho Libre. And there's this, and this is how I related to Nacho Libre during my breakdown and actually during a lot of my journey. There's this one part of the movie when he is standing in church, lighting a candle, and Nacho wants to be a luchador, right? A lucha libre. It's Mexican wrestlers. And he's desperately wanting to do it. And he's telling God, he's talking to God. He's like, God, why did you make me want to be a wrestler so badly, but made me such a lousy fighter? Okay. So basically I was saying the same. I'm like, why do you want me to be a day trader so badly, but made me such a bad trader, made me do such bad decisions? This was all going on, right? And so this is what happened. I ended up having a massive breakthrough. I totally walked away from the charts for quite a while because my husband was just like, he's like, how much more can you go on losing our money, right? But I had a breakthrough. After about 2-3 months of being away, I came back and I started to look at the charts a different way altogether. What I started to do is, one thing I noticed is, nobody starts off from the beginning, from the basics, right? When it comes to trading, very few, especially when you join these big academies, and that's what I did. I spent over $20,000 joining different academies, one-on-ones, workshops, seminars, you name it. And what I felt a lot of times, especially the ones that have these trade rooms that you go in almost immediately, is kind of like, if you want to play, let's say, a flute, right? And you arrive to your music academy and thinking you're going to sit down and start to learn the notes and the basics and how to use the flute. But instead, what happens is they throw you into the orchestral pit with all the other musicians and expect you to keep up. And I feel like that's kind of been my journey. Like so many of the times that I was just thrown into like the pit and not really understanding what was going on, I was kind of just chasing what other people were saying. And I realized that I never just fully understood what I was even looking at, like just the basics of trading, right? Because the reality is we're not really born with that information, right? I remember asking in trade rooms, what are divergences? What is reversal patterns? And nobody people, they were either like brushing me off or like, oh, it's not important. But those things are important. And what is trends, Mark, and all that. So that's one thing that I recognize, that I never fully learned that. And when I came back with renewed eyes, I stripped my entire charts to just bare naked charts and decided to only focus on the basics, the understanding of what it was. And when I recognized that the market, it actually has its own language. It pretty much speaks to us. Like literally, it has a language. And if we understand that language, we will be able to listen to it and to be able to read it. And that's really what happened with me. So now I'm going to do a quick official intro for any of you guys that don't know me. I do see a lot of you guys that I do know, and I'm so happy you guys are here. So I am Marina, the Trader Chick. And as I was telling Anka and David, I do live in Guatemala. I am an expat in Antigua, Guatemala. And I also am trilingual. And that's kind of the reason why I recognize that the market was a different language. I was born in the Soviet Union and am a refugee from the Soviet Union to the US. So Russian is my first official language. However, I was raised, pretty much spent the majority of my life in the United States. I was raised in New York. So English is really my real language. That's the language that I am the easiest for me to communicate. And then I've been now living in Central America for almost 20 years, over 18 years. First, we lived in Costa Rica, and now we live in Guatemala. So I speak Spanish fluently. However, Spanish came to me later on in life. I learned it when I was in my mid-20s. And when, I don't know if any of you guys here have learned a language in a, later on in years, I know that there's quite a few bilingual people I'm seeing. However, I don't know how many of you have learned that second or third language even later on in years. It's very different than, for instance, when I learned English, because I was 6 years old. So it was, you know, a child's mind picks things up super quickly. But when you're 20s, it's a lot harder. And what happens is a lot of times is everything is processed a lot. First of all, I have to translate everything I want to say. So it takes me a long time. And then I get the words out. When somebody responds to me in Spanish, I first had to translate everything in my mind. So it was a really complicated, it took a really long time. It was hard, right? But then one day, after about a year of this, and I was really determined, I really wanted to learn Spanish, I woke up one day and I just got it. So I'm not 100% fluent, but I have no problem getting around. I could even be in conversations with groups of people because I just got it. I don't translate anything anymore in my mind. It just happens. There's definitely some words that I still don't understand. And I'm like, can you please explain that? But I'd say 90% of the words aren't like that. Oh, sorry. My dog is going crazy. So basically, that's what happened with the market for me, right? So what happened with the market when I was studying it and came back just really learning the basics is I realized it's a language and it started to speak to me. It wasn't difficult anymore. It became something that I could communicate with. And I think that's because I was trilingual. I am trilingual. So another thing is that me and my family are really big travelers. It's a very important part of our life. And before I became a day trader, I was a fitness instructor and a travel writer. I actually have and still do have my travel site, but I've had this for over 12 years. So it was really important for me to whatever I wanted to do next, which was I've always wanted to trade, but 8 years ago, my 40th birthday is when I totally jumped in. But it was because not only because I love the financial markets, because I also knew that there was the lifestyle is good. It didn't happen as quickly as I wanted to. It took a good 3 to 4 years of a lot of learning and, like I was saying, losing. But us traders, one thing we do know is that it's possible. And when you realize how it's possible and that you could do it, that's when everything starts to flow for you, right? Привет. Somebody just wrote привет for me. Hi. No, I am not a horse rider. I just look really good in my cowboy hat. So that's why I love it. It's my favorite colors. And when I saw it, I knew that this was my hat. I actually don't ride horses at all. I like to look at them, but I am not that adventurous. All right, guys. So let's get into what are the basics of day trading. Okay. What are they? This is what I really want us to learn today, because when you guys have the basics down, it becomes like an automated thing. When you sit down in the car, you could actually have fun in trading so that it's the same thing. So when you go off on adventure in your cars, you have fun and it's the same thing. It could be the same thing when we sit down at our charts, all right? So that's the coolest thing. Now, what I'm going to start to go with you guys today is the four basics of learning how to understand the market. Just like when we get into the car, we know where the brakes are, steering wheels, it becomes automatic, the same with the market. There are things that can make it automatic and make it so much more fun. Now, before I continue, the entire presentation, everything I'm going to be giving you, like the whole work, kind of like a workshop, I guess you could say, I have it here for you. You could go and get it totally for free, makingofadaytrader.com. And this is kind of like my own cheat sheet. I use this for when I trade. So just go and you'll get it there completely, makingofadaytrader.com. So Tom, about we'll need travel services. So now today, my travel site is not about services. It's a completely different business model now. It's pretty much just talking about where me and my family travel, and I work with many companies. So it's very different than it was at one point. All right, guys, let's get into the market movement and the breakdown of a trend. So the reality here is we all know that there are trends to the markets, right? We know that there's an uptrend. We know that there is a downtrend. However, we logically know that there is a sideways trend, right? The problem is with a sideways trend, this is where a lot of the mental mind games start to play with us. And if we don't recognize where those sideways trends happen, this is also the place where I would say 90% of our winnings, if not more, gets lost. So it's really, really, really important to be able to recognize when it is starting and then to have the mental strength to know to stay out. And I will be showing you guys how we can spot it. So first, to fully understand what is a trending market up. So basically, it's when it's going long, right? When the pivots are, when each pivot is higher than the other. It's also called going long or buying. That's when we look for the buying positions, right? Now, versus the downtrend, which is when we start to look for the short positions, the selling. And if you're a day trader, you can make as much money on the short as you can on the long, right? So it's really important to understand the difference and to be able to know that you can do that. A lot of traders, especially beginner traders, get a little bit worried about the shorting. They're only looking for the longs. And for day trading, that does not matter. If you're investing, it's a whole other world, right? It's a different category. It's not what we are looking to do here. So another thing is, especially when you're day trading, and I'm a scalper, I look for the shorter, smaller profits, understanding when it's an overall momentum, a momentum that's been going for a longer time, and then we have the mini trends, it's really important to recognize those because you can really monetize on those immediate momentums. And that's also really important to be able to understand. Now, I want to talk, I really want to get into the trader's worst enemy. This is the consolidation area, the transition area, the sideways market. I want to talk about how to spot them and most importantly of all, to be able to avoid them. The thing is, we like I said before, we logically understand when they're happening, but then our mind starts to play mind games on us, okay? So this is pretty much what it looks like. There's going to be different ways of looking at it, obviously. However, basically, it's when the pivots are pretty much coming up against the resistance area and a support area, right? It doesn't have to be wide. It could be really narrow. It could be wider. So it's like a sideways market, a channel. So why is this an emotional mind game? All right. So this is a good example, right? Pretend the market has been going up all day. It's been a strong uptrend. And all of a sudden, we are now hitting this particular consolidation area or indecision area, whatever you want to call it, exhaustion. What happens here? This is when a lot of traders, instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to sit back and watch when the market is going to tell me confirmation of what it's doing. This is when these traders start to have these, their limiting beliefs, I call it, or stories that they think are the right stories, that they have to know what the market is going to do. They have to predict what the market is going to do. And what they're saying is a lot of, there's two ways of people that are saying things here that are in the mind game. One is, okay, it's been going up all day. It's going to continue going long. It's just taking a little breather. It's going to continue going long. Or the contrarian, and I used to be that, okay, the market's been going up all day. It's got to correct. I'm going for a short. So the third one, and gratefully today, I am a very proud third category, is knowing when to sit out entirely. And this is so important because if you guys don't know when to sit out of bad trades, you will lose the money, all your money from the good trades. And consolidation areas, they are not supposed to go up or supposed to go down. On the contrary, they will do what they're going to do no matter what. We as individual traders, retail traders, sit and wait to see what happens. And in this particular case, that's exactly what we do. So when we are starting to recognize that there is a sideways area forming, we already start to sit out. And there's many ways to start to identify it pretty early on. First of all, with forming resistance areas and the support areas. However, there's a lot more to it. And I'm going to show you guys really how it will happens. These areas happen, they could be smaller areas. Because I am a small profit and risk trader, I would have been totally stopped out here. So for me, sitting out and waiting for a confirmation to see what is going to happen is crucial. And I would have known to stay out of this, right? Until it gave me the confirmation and had a breakout and continued further down. And that's when I would be looking for the breakout trades, right? These are different consolidations. We have to know when to spot it. And we do that by forming the market. We are looking at the areas because the market respects areas and we as traders need to respect what the market is respecting. And those areas are formulated through support areas, which is the floor of a trend. Okay. It's when it is hitting the floor or just the floor of the market. It doesn't have to be a downward trend. It could be a sideways trend. It's the floor, right? This is the resistance area, which is a ceiling. This is the support area, which is the floor. And this is a channel. It's very choppy. It's ugly, but it is still a channel. This is a resistance area. This is the ceiling of the market, right? This is when it could be a strong trend that is being hit by a resistance area. And this is important to see, right? So the resistance area happens here. Then we have a whole new trend happening. We do have this mini support area. And who knows, this could have been several hours. And then it respects the area. It came back to that area. And I already am ready for it by having my resistance drawn in. So if my resistance is there and it hits it, I'm not surprised. I already know, you know what? This is an area that the market has been respecting. I'm going to sit it out. I'm going to wait to see what it does. And that's what is really important with the trader and respecting that particular area and what the market is doing. So reversal areas and divergences. These are the two ways I literally call them the trader's map to shift in direction of trend. This is also the way you could start to spot a sideways market when it is actually happening. All right. So I love this. Divergences, reversal patterns are my trading religion. And I use that with my indicators. So as you can see, I use two indicators. I use EMA lines and I use the MACDs. That is all that I use. I find that the MACDs are the least lagging indicator when it starts to show me divergence, which is basically showing me weakness in the market. You see here, the pivots are touching, yet here the pivots are already going the opposite direction. That is showing me weakness in the market. It is already showing me that something is about to happen. In this particular case, this was just a perfect double bottom. However, this is also the beginning of a sideways area, right? I don't know in the live market, I don't know what it's going to do. All I know, it's already showing me that I need to sit out. Okay, here is another perfect example of a double bottom with massive divergence. Here it is again. Okay, and I also start to follow divergence when it happens early on. I'm already very conscious. I am very conservative. I don't get into anything because when the market is showing me weakness, I don't want to be any part of it. You always want to be on the confirmed part, right? Where there's a lot of strength, when there's a lot of movement. And that's where we want to do. This is a triple top. Basically, a triple top is the beginning of a sideways market, right? And coupled with divergence, I'm completely staying out. Like I'm totally out of this market already. So now I want to talk about breaking out of areas. But first, I am seeing that I have some questions. Okay. Any particular time frames? Yes. So hang on, let me do this. Tom, yes, I only, let me see if you can see it here. I will share a little bit longer later. I only use the 6-10 chart, right, Neil? Thanks. Yes. So I use the 6-10 chart. I'm going to show you guys why in a little bit because I personally love tick charts. My goal is all about simplifying my charts and simplifying my trading. And the tick chart is a real-time volume indicator, which is really cool because you could eliminate the volume indicator, which I know a lot of people use. The thing is with the volume indicators, they are lagging. They could lag a little bit. Okay. So resistance areas. First of all, I want to actually talk a little bit more about that strength that I was telling you about. To me, a trend is like a sentence. It tells me everything I pretty much need to know. Okay. So what is a trend and what is strength? I want you guys to imagine when you want to go and let's say you want to go for a jog, right? You are super motivated to go for a jog. And then let's say you have two friends that are going to be betting on you. They're probably going to be betting on you most to run the furthest when you first get your sneakers on and get out the door, right? Chances of you going the furthest when you just starting is usually the best part. So that's the beginning of a trend. That is that confirmation, that strength that we see through the MACDs. It's that out the door running, boom. That's when you want to go for the best trades. Then all of a sudden you get tired or you decide to get water, right? So now I would not be betting on you right now because you're in that indecision mode. You're not sure if you want to continue or if you want to go home. You're not sure. However, after some water, you throw in a gel and you're like, I'm going for it some more. What happens when you throw in, when you eat a gel? You get a renewed strength. It's kind of like your second wind. That's a breakout. So if you think about it, it's like running north. All of a sudden there's a detour and you're not sure where you're going. And then the road opens up or your strength is renewed and boom, you are headed out again. That's a breakout. Okay. But in this indecision area, during the time that you're uncertain, or if it's like a detour, there's a chance that you might turn back and say, you know what? I'm done. I just don't have the strength anymore. Or if you're driving the detour and you're in a construction site and they're like, you know what? Sorry, the road is completely closed. While you are in this resistance area, in this channel, that sideways market, you don't know what's going to happen. So all you have to do is sit and wait until you do. And that's, in this particular case, is the breakout, right? And that is exactly why it's important to be able to read and fully understand what this is. So now I want to put it all together. First, I want to go back to showing you how I trade. And I don't know if any of you guys have this scenario going on, because honestly, that alone is just takes all the fun out of the trading for me. When I began trading, I had 3 monitors going on. I had over 10 indicators. I was so stressed out. It was too much. It was constant analysis paralysis for me. Constant, right? So today, this is it. I am trading on one chart. I use only one chart. Now, because I do travel, all of my indicators are on one chart, and I have found it to be just great, simple, and it's been fun. This is what my chart looks like, okay? I am going to show you guys my live chart as well, because I want to talk a little bit more about the tick charts. I know that some people are really interested in tick charts and don't really know that, so I will go into that. Okay, what MA, Sherry, I'm going to answer a couple of questions. I don't use the moving average. I use exponential moving averages, and I use the 20, 52, and 135 period EMA lines. Okay, what did I call this negative divergence? I don't have names for them. They're just divergence with reversal patterns. So you could have a double bottom, double top, triple bottom. Steve, can you live in Guatemala? Is a safe place? Your wife is worrying. Is there really any really, really safe place in the world? At this point, I'm not really sure, but I live in Antigua and we like to call it a little bubble. So yeah, I feel really good here. We also live in a gated community, which is just beautiful. My kids go to a really gorgeous green school. Literally, it's called the Green School. So it's beautiful. Okay, what entity are you trading? The instrument I trade is only the ES Mini. I am going to go into it a teeny bit more, Sherry, so I will show you. Amity, Oregon, I'm sure is safe, but there's probably some areas that isn't all safe, right? You can't just say all of Oregon is safe, because I'm sure there's some areas that aren't. So it's the same with Guatemala, right? It's the same with pretty much anywhere in the world. All right, guys. So did you get the cheat sheet making of a daytrader.com? Pretty much everything that I just went over, you can literally use it as a cheat sheet and apply it to when you are trading. Even though I trade the ES Mini, the language is pretty much universal. So you would be able to apply it to your instruments just the same, right? Okay. So let's do a little bit more of the breakout trade look. So here is a really strong resistance area. You could tell that it was an up market, uptrending market. And then all of a sudden, boom, you've got that second wind. You are headed, you are continuing in the same direction. That is a breakout. Okay. That's exactly what breakouts are. Now, another bonus trade I want to talk about is the initial reaction trade setup. Like I mentioned before, remember, when you guys get out the door running, that is that initial energy, the initial power. So that is when I look for my initial trade. It's usually the strongest, right? And I always look at everything as a retracement. My EMA lines, I use them as where I take my trades from. Imagine yourself as an archer You would never find an archer, you know, like those bow and arrow people walking around fields just aimlessly and shooting their arrows at wherever. They have a very specific place they stand from, and they have a very specific target. And that's really what I use my EMA lines a lot for that. And it's just massive strength on that MACD's, no divergences. That's when I get in, right? No divergence. Look at that. Again, boom, it changed direction here. I sat out. I finally had that confirmation. I retraced back, boom, in that particular trade. All right. So again, please go here. You'll be able to get all that I'm showing you and even a little bit more. And I don't use RSI at all. So let me go into my charts and I will show you guys. Can you guys see my charts? Let me know, because I'm not sure how it works here. Are you able to see my charts? No. Okay. So let me share with you guys my chart. Hang on a second. All right. Now you guys should be able to see my charts, right? Okay, cool. All right, guys. So here is my chart. What is a 610 tick chart? Do you guys see right here? It says remaining ticks. So each one of these bars has 610 transactions going on. Right now, it's off market. It's a whole, the ES Mini, which is the S&P 500, is open almost 24 hours a day. It's closed, I think, for like 15 minutes for maintenance. And then Saturdays, it's completely closed. So right now, it is the evening hours, and it's pretty slow. You can see, I could even count the amount of people that are in there. Look at that. It's super slow. It's 210. It's going slow. So I don't need a volume indicator. I know that the market is crap. It's moving barely anything. I don't want to be in a market that is this slow. Look at this. It's barely moving, right? So you want to see them moving really fast. And that is her bar. So that is a given indicator right away. So this is the 610 indicator. I trade the ES Mini, which is the S&P 500. Here is my MACD's. So a lot of you guys were asking for my indicators. So I'm going to just, again, like I said, I use the 20, 52, 135 EMA lines. And my MACD's are just set to basics. 12, 26, 9. When you do put in your MACD's, you will have three different MACD's going on. You'll have the difference, the average, and the actual MACD. I do not need to care about the difference or the average. It just is more noise for me. I just want to look at my MACD's, and that's what this is. It's literally just my MACD's. Okay. Right. So let me see. Should they be the same size? I'm sorry. Did I miss the question of the same size? I don't know what that means. Why? Because, Tom, I started learning with the 610 many years ago. And at this point, I just really want to stick to, I've perfected it. To me, I've mastered the 610. I know it inside out. You know, everybody does that. The bars are candlesticks. There is no bar that is ever going to be the same. It depends on the amount of people in it, how fast it moves, if it's indecision. They're just candlesticks, right? It's nothing different. It's super easy. I don't use Fibonacci's, Neil. I don't use Fib numbers at all. So that's basically what that is. All right. So couldn't go to the site. Making of a day trader, not of a trader. It's making of a day trader. I know that David put it in here. It's making of a day trader. Here, I'm going to put it here for you guys. Oops. All right. Let me see. Know if you guys could see that making of a day trader. The 610 ticks is in any direction. Michael, it's literally just on the bar. So it's not about direction. It has nothing to do with direction. It's 610 transactions per bar. It could be up. It could be down. It's just per bar, right? My horizontal lines, James, I put them in myself. This is just something that I personally use. They're at 0.3 or 0.4 or -0.3, -0.4. To me, when I have hit that area, that means there's massive strength. Because when you are in the live market, we are now completely adrenaline fueled, right? You do not want to sit there and question what is going on. You want to have everything written out and done for you. So this to me is already done. So if I see the MACD's flowing that high, I'm already in. I know that it's super strength. I know that it's working good. So this is when I draw in. Obviously, the market has been in a really strong sideways market, right? However, it is a pretty big one. So I might have been looking for some entries as well in here. Again, this is now off time, not the time I would ever be trading, but just so you guys kind of have an idea of what my charts look like. This is it. This is all I use. I absolutely love it. It's simple. I get everything I need from this particular setup. All right. I want to go back to here because I know some people were asking. So again, making of a daytrader.com, you should not have any problems entering there. I want to talk about the E-minis and why I personally love the E-minis. Yes, one chart, I could take it anywhere in the world. I actually, when we traveled in Europe, which is so fun because the market there opens either at 2:30 or 3:30 p.m. It's awesome. While my kids were hanging out at the beach, I was able to open up my charts and be on it. So the best times of the day to trade for me, because I trade, so I only trade the ES Mini, only the ES Mini. I do not trade any other instruments. And the best time is, they're open 24 hours almost. The best time is usually 9:30 to 11:30 Eastern. And again, 1 to 3:30 Eastern. That's usually the most amount of volatility and movement and volume, right? And that's when you really want to enter trades. Why did I decide with the ES Minis? First of all, unlike stocks, which you have to have $25,000 with your broker to trade, you could literally start with $500. I personally recommend $1,000. And you do not have any limitations. You could trade as much as you want. Unlike stocks and even Forex, you have to put in a lot of research, right? You have to know what's going on with the countries or the particular companies. You don't have to do that with the E-Minis. It's 100% technicals. And that's the beauty of it. It's literally just looking and reading what the market is telling you. Exactly what I just showed you guys. That's exactly all I do is just listen and read the market. And the charts, I do not need 3 to 5 charts blinking all these different indicators. I am down to one. I literally use 2 indicators, my EMA lines and my MACDs. And that is it. And it's been super. It's been easy to follow, simplified. I'm conservative, so I don't look for a gazillion trades. I'm very good like picking out the strongest ones, right? And I don't spend 7 to 10 hours per day doing it. So I know that a lot of people are like, oh, you could work only an hour and a half per day. This is the reality with day trading. And I actually call it deliberate trading. I don't know if any of you guys have ever read the book Grit. If not, go and get it. It's a fantastic book. So she talks a lot about masters, you know, musicians, athletes, even like somebody like Bill Gates, they're master. The thing is, they have deliberate training. So for instance, Kobe Bryant, right? When he was playing or training, he had moments when he was deliberate training, like putting it all in. He was only probably able to do an hour and a half of that. And then he had like his regular practice, which was different. Or imagine a game, right? Like Michael Phelps, the swimmer, the professional, the Olympic swimmer. He could probably only give 100% of himself in a very short period of time, even though he probably trains for, you know, a good long portion of the day. But the best his is only for a short period of time because he can't handle more and it's not possible. Traders, we are deliberate trading, especially when you're scalping, which is what I do. You have to be so full on in the charts that after an hour and a half, your mind simply is not capable of doing more. And even though a lot of people are like, oh, I sit all day, I know for a fact they are drained and they are not doing the best that they can. They are now going into emotional trading and you never want to be in an emotional state of mind, right? So why is scalping? Why I love scalping. So scalping, if you guys don't know what scalping is, it's going in for smaller profits with a smaller risk, right? I am everything at one point. One point in the ES Mini Futures with one contract is worth $50. So my risk is one point and my target is one point. Normally those trades during like the big hour, the main hours last between 1 to 5 minutes lately because the volatility has been so much better. At 15 minutes is really too long for me. I don't even think I could handle that anymore. So I go in for much quicker profits. And that is, it's not even about the profit itself. The target itself is the fact that when you hit that target, your confidence goes up. So with a smaller target and having the alignment of the trade setup, there's a much higher probability of getting filled. And it's all about probability, guys. It's all about being on the right side of the market. Okay. And the other thing is I personally am just not able to handle the stress of sitting through a really long, big target. I know big targets sound really great. You know, oh, I went for a 4 or 5 or 8 point target. The reality is you're also putting up a gazillion points as risk. So you're putting up a lot of money. I'm not sure who this person is. Cam next. For futures, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, we are talking about futures. We're not talking about stocks. Absolutely. You are allowed to scalp a gazillion times. You're even allowed to go even less than what I do. So yes, futures, absolutely. And you could go in and out as many times as you want. Jim, yes, my target is always 1-to-1. Scalping is usually 1-to-1. 1 point target, 1 point risk. Absolutely. Yes. Because my trades at this point are 85 to 95%. I know they're going to happen. I also sit through a lot. Ivan, yes, MES is a much, much smaller. It's a tenth, literally. So the reality is it's not the same market, even though it is the ES mini, it's the micro mini. So what does that mean? It's a different group of people. Majority of beginner traders start there. So you also have to keep that in mind. Okay, who are you trading with? Beginners? Or are you going to be trading with the ES, which is, you know, a lot more people that have been, there's more seasoned. So there it flows better. You could do MES overnight. It's the ES mini, Mark. It's just the same, but it's just a tenth of the contract. That's all it is. I want to really quickly touch upon emotional capital and why it's actually worth more than actual capital. And this is why I love scalping, because the reality is, yeah, we want to make money with trading. How many of you guys are here actually consistently making a good living off of trading, right? So it's one thing to say, I want to make this amount. And that's another thing is how much are you actually making? The reality is in the beginning, it's about making the right decisions. It has nothing to do with the amount of money. It's about making the right decisions. If you're going for smaller profits and you're hitting that ding, ding, you know what happens? Your emotional capital is getting reinforced. I know about me personally, when I was making wrong decisions, losing, my emotional capital was getting depleted. I was constantly degrading myself. I was belittling myself. Oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. I'm so stupid. I know what to do. All these thoughts. I know all you guys have gone through that, right? That's emotional capital. But it didn't end there. I didn't shut my chart and all of a sudden I'm back to my happy go lucky person. No, I was taking my emotional capital depletion and taking it out on my family, my dogs, whatever, because I was angry. So the reason why I discovered scalping is when I started to notice, if I go for smaller targets and getting hitting those targets more regularly, my emotional capital, my confidence was going up more and more and more. And that's what it's about, guys. It's literally all about making the right decisions. It's about your confidence level. And that happens when you really know what the market is saying to you. When you are having a conversation with somebody and you understand everything they're saying, it's easy to understand them, right? It's a more fun conversation. But when you are struggling, it's also not the time to go live when you are struggling, when you're not reading the market right, right? So please, guys, you could at least get the basics with makingofadaytrader.com and you could start there, okay? So yes, you could. I personally don't like swing trading. Why, Salman? Because I hate sitting for long term. Swing trading, I mean, I'm in it, what, like between 1 day to 2 weeks? Oh my God, no, that's my long-term investment. I'm in long-term for years. But for trading, as my career, never. I cannot sit through that. I will not sleep. I will vomit. It's just not right. It's not the right thing for me. Again, this is not for everybody. Scalping, swing trading, everybody has different, you know, connection to the market. So totally cool. Donna, please send me over your question. I'd love to know. Salman, the only one who gets advantage intraday trade. That is not true at all. That is a story and a misconception. How many trades are you going to be taking? If you're taking 1 to 3 trades and if you're winning, who cares about the $4 commission? If you're trigger happy, that's wrong no matter what you're doing. And then the broker totally wins. But the broker wins when you're losing, right? Yes, I do, Oscar, have a chat room. So Salman, you have to look at the positive thing. Oh my God, I'm getting into trades that are bringing me money and I'm happy to give the commission. That is what we're talking about. What was the book you mentioned? Oh gosh, Sherry, what book did I mention? I forgot already. I can't remember. Okay, Salman, before I used to intro trade. So you did not have a strong strategy. Great. Sorry, there you go. Great. I know. Salman, you didn't have a good strategy. Then unfortunately, it has nothing to do with the broker. It's you simply not having a strong strategy. Because if you have a good, solid strategy that you trust, you will have more wins than losses. Yeah, $4 round trip with the E-minis. Absolutely. Great, guys. Excellent book. Let me know if there's any more questions. I know, I think Sherry, you had another question. Oh, that was that your question? Let me know, guys, if you have any more questions. Let's see how further we go with the intraday platform. I use NinjaTrader, but you could pretty much use any real platform, right? NinjaTrader is really good for futures. Can I review my MACDs again? So it's 12. The only way to get access to my chat room are my students. So you are welcome to write to me and I will be able to talk to you more about that. I do have courses. I only have two courses. One is the e-mini and one is teaching more about the language. How do I use the MACDs? I mainly use them for strength and divergence, which is another way of looking for weakness. When I see divergence, I see weakness. All right, guys, it's almost time for me to wrap it up. Thank you so much, so much for being here. Really, again, makingofadaytrader.com. I can guarantee that this will help you guys use. Yes, absolutely. You can use it for stocks because it's all about the areas. It's about consolidation areas, support resistance areas. It's not trade setups. It's how to read the markets, right? And let me know if you guys have any questions. I also love to hear from you. You can send me all your questions as well. And okay. Anka, you never told us your deal. Okay. I think that was for Anka. And thank you. Thank you, everybody. And have a super night. Thanks, David and Anka, for having me. It was super fun.